We continue today in the series of people of the fine print in the Bible. It's kind of like, okay, the people in backstage and behind the curtain, we're bringing them out, you know, and giving them their time on stage and saying, hey, you know, without these people, you know, none of this would have been accomplished. You know, so we're talking about the people in the fine print. Does anybody know how duct tape was invented? Nobody? Yeah. Huh? Duct tape. Okay. Do y'all know there is a contest going on, well, it just finished, you know, that's been going on for years for scholarships. They give away, I think, $45,000 for the best prom dress and tuxedo made out of duct tape. Yeah, it's a thing. You know, look it up. You know, but duct tape. You know, back during when World War II started, there was a lady, and I don't remember the town. You know, everybody. You know, mostly. You know, a lot of ladies would go off. You know, when World War II started, to do whatever they could. You know, working in factories and stuff. And there was a lady named Vesta Stout. She was working in a factory putting rifle grenades into cans, you know, and shipping them off. Well, she had two sons that were serving. She got letters back. The cans were sealed with paper tape and wax. You know, and her sons wrote back to her, said, Mom, you know, said, you know, we get these cans and we go to open them, and a lot of times the paper tape tears. You know, we're in the thick of battle. You know, and the tape tears, we can't get anything, we got to come up with, you know, with our knives, you know, we're banging the cans against something, you know, to open them. You know, I said, you know, people are dying, you know, we need, so she goes, comes up with the idea, and she goes to her boss and says, somebody, you know, my son's telling me this, somebody needs to come up with a waterproof, you know, tape. You know, that we could use, you know, and what did they tell her? Ah, you're a woman, you know, going back to work. You know, so what does she do? She's a mom. So she writes to who? The President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He has a son also serving. She writes him a letter, and you can look it up online, you know, her letter with diagrams of the tape, you know, a cloth waterproof tape. Within 2 or 3 weeks, she gets a letter back from the president. I like your idea. I've passed it on, you know, to the whoever it is, you know, for, you know, to work on your project. He passed it on to a company, the war, whatever, you know, company. You know, it turns out the company would eventually turn into what, Johnson & Johnson. So they come up with a tape. And it's called, I think, the 100-mile tape, because said it could be used from everything to patching up boots to attaching fenders back on Jeeps. You know, but you know, the person in the background, without Vesta Stout, you would not have duct tape. And where would the world be today without duct tape? You know, just think of all the things, you know, that we use duct tape for. You know, so she is a person in the fine print of history. You know, but all those people, you know, in life today, you know, that nobody ever heard of, just doing one little thing, you know, to change life for everybody. You know, and what I'm getting at, the church, this church and every church is not built or made on one person. The church, this church and every church is built and made on the talents, the gifts, and the sacrifices of everybody. You know, just like I said, everybody running in their lane, doing what God called them to do. You know, and in the letter that Miss Jane read today, you know, in the very first passage, you know, it says, Paul, and a called apostle of Jesus Christ, you know, visible authority, you know, and why? Because this letter was going out to people, and Paul wanted everybody to know that I'm not writing this just sitting down thinking of some good idea, something to write you. That this letter is coming with authority. God inspired, God dictated it to me. I wrote his words down, and it comes with authority. It is not just something that I thought up on my own. You know, and it had to have that for this letter to have impact. For people that was going to, the church it was going to, for people to take it serious. You know, just like I said the first time, the first day I talked about this, that history, culture has a way of what? Pushing one person to the top and we'll leave everybody else in the back. Paul, you know, says, okay, I'll be that person, but you have to know, you need to know that I am a called apostle, messenger of Jesus Christ of God. And what I'm telling you comes from him. You know, and in chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, God lists the sacrifices of the many. You know, and I'm sure, you know, as Miss Jane read this, if you look in your Bibles, how many people got all this highlighted, you know, underlined, that this, you know, it's in bold, you know, in your Bible. Huh, Miss Angie? You know, and I asked him this morning, okay, how many people have read the book of Colossians? Huh? You have? Okay, that's two hands.
Three.
Three? Yeah. My one prayer about this today and every day with this is that maybe it does something to you that you take your Bible out and read through these books to dig just a little bit deeper, you know, that maybe God has something to tell you and that you're open to God talking to you to tell you what is your lane, where he wants you to run. The gifts and talents and sacrifices of the many. You know, we find two people in small print today. The first one, Tychicus. You know, anybody ever know anybody named Tychicus? No? You know, I like that name. You know, Tychicus. You know, that when we had our son, you know, I wanted to call him, I told Amanda, I want to name him Bartholomew. And, nickname him Bart. You know, I like Bart. You know, and she said, Aaron, ain't nowhere in the world you name it that Bartholomew. Why not? Bartholomew is a good name, huh? Bart, that's a good name. And I got to tell you all this later. You know, my first canine dog, what was his name? Bart. You know, and I'm asking, Aaron, can you imagine having a dog and your son named the same? Say, yeah, that would have been good. But, you know, Tychicus and Onesimus or Onesimus, however you want to say it. You know, has anybody ever heard those names before? Tychicus, maybe not. But has anybody ever heard the name Onesimus before? We'll get to that in a minute. Onesimus, that Paul is saying, you know, describes him as a faithful, dear brother to me. You know, that he's linked to Paul in his inner circle, working for the kingdom of God. You know, you just dig a little deeper in God's word and see where God takes you. You know, it's a little side note to this. You know, that Paul wrote to this church, Colossians, the church of Colossians and Colossae, just as he did Ephesians, you know, Galatians, Philippians, and all those other ones, that this letter, and it is a letter to this church, and it was written for a purpose. All of Paul's letters were written for a purpose. And why? Because they were having trouble. They were having theological trouble from inside and out, and they were having relational trouble. And this letter of Colossians, it's a very, very important letter in the church then. It's an important letter for us today. That back then, people were saying that, yeah, for salvation, You had to have the grace of God, but you also had to have the law of God from the Old Testament, that you had to follow the law. And Paul is saying, no, we're saved by grace, faith. You have to have faith, belief, and trust in God. It's not by works. It is by faith and trust. You know, that is the way to salvation. You know, and people were saying there's a higher secret knowledge that only certain people, you know about. I don't know about y'all, but every time, you know, I hear a preacher or somebody say, you know, start their sermon, you know, I found something out. I've unlocked something, you know, nobody's ever heard of before. You know, it makes my, you know, kind of ears prick. Now, wait a minute. We've had God's word for 2,000 years, and just all of a sudden, you're coming up with something that nobody has ever thought of before? Really? You know, okay, I want to hear what it is. You know, and a lot of times it's just something, saying something somebody has said some other way, and then a lot of times it's something else. Okay, now you really got to be kidding. You get that from this? You know, that. But people were saying, I have this special knowledge to unlock the secret of something. And Paul is saying, no. No, there is no special secret. That is Jesus Christ, born, died, resurrected, sitting at the right hand of God, and is only by him and through him that you have forgiveness of sins and salvation. Some people were still teaching then and now. They were teaching the worship of angels. Some were even denying the deity of Jesus. And we still have people today saying that, yeah, Jesus was a good man, but nothing else. There's still people today saying that. So this letter to the church at Colossae was telling them all about this. So all of this is found in this letter. So yes, should we take it out and read it? Yes, we should. You know, but it's also relational problems. Okay? We're family, right? Family has disagreements, right? You know, how many people with kids have never had disagreements with their kids? Huh? Oh, was told this morning, these two people here are brave enough. Now, y'all pray for them. They need prayers. They have volunteered to take a 13 and 16-year-old to Florida this coming week. And Mr. Bob told me, one of the girls, Erin, you hadn't seen her? He said, she's drop-dead gorgeous. So you better put some barbed wire around her on the beach in Florida. But, you know, as long as we have people together, there are going to be, you know, it's misunderstandings. Even if you're in a church by yourself, no preacher, nobody by yourself, sooner or later, you're going to have a disagreement with yourself. You know, I should have done something, I should not have done something. You know, what should I do? You know, that's what it is. And for the relational problems, Paul gives us a letter. Philemon. It is a one-page letter. You know, this book, this Bible is large print, it's a page and a half. Philemon, a one-page letter to deal with the relational problems of what's going on in the church. Then Paul gives us the book of Colossians to deal with all the theological problems. But, you know, God sees you. He sees what you're going through each and every day. And he is with you each and every day. And nothing he asks you to do is ever too small not to do. That if God asks you to do something, It is for a reason, and it means something. We have our two people today, Onesimus and Tychicus, two people that are only mentioned just a couple of times in Scripture, but they are written in Scripture, the everlasting Word of God, that heaven and earth, everything will pass away. But these two people are still here. If you told Onesimus in that day that here you are, 2,000 years later, people are going to be reading about you and talking about you. Okay, Onesimus, he was a slave. He was a slave. And who was his owner? Philemon. Philemon was rich, wealthy. For some reason, one way or another, he had a falling out with his owner, with another slave or whatever. So he runs away. He goes to Rome. Some way or another, he crossed paths with Paul. Paul under house arrest in chains. And Paul leads him to Jesus. He writes this letter to Philemon, to the church at Colossae, said, I'm sending him back. I'm sending him back to you, my brother in Christ, helping me in the kingdom with kingdom work. And Tychicus, he will tell you everything that's going on. Now, imagine this, okay? People had slaves in those days. Their business, their house, they had slaves, however they got them. That one day, here's this slave that ran away. He comes walking through the church doors, and his owner is there. Maybe, you know, not a church like this, maybe it's somebody's house, probably. Comes in the house. What do you think would happen? You think the owner would just welcome him with open arms? You think he would have people grab him and beat him? Paul is saying, here he is, a fellow worker in the kingdom of God. Welcome him back, not as a slave, but as a worker in the kingdom of God. You know, after what happened yesterday, people, we can change all the laws we want to, but nothing is ever going to change anything until what? Until our hearts change. Until we change people's hearts. Wednesday night, somebody was saying had a shooting in Delhi. Either 16 shot and killed a 17-year-old or vice versa. Lafayette, Monroe, it goes on all over the place. We can change all the laws we want to, but until we change people's hearts, nothing is going to change. And what is the only thing that can change people's hearts? God, Jesus. The good news of Jesus Christ that Paul is saying, here, Onesimus is coming back to you. Take him, accept him as a fellow worker and believer in Jesus Christ. Okay. But all of this that I've said all up till now is kind of been just taking up time. I couldn't let y'all go too soon. Okay, this is where the rubber meets the road, people. Okay, you have Tychicus. Paul is saying, I'm giving Tychicus this letter to bring to you. He's going to tell you everything going on. Tychicus takes this letter in his pouch. He has no idea what the letter is about. And he takes it to the church of Colossae. Where would we be without him taking the letter? God asking him to do something that he didn't think anything about it at all. I'm just taking a letter here just to deliver it. He's mentioned once, twice in God's word. but doing what God asked him to do, ever so insignificant, but so, so very vital. Onesimus, Onesimus, a slave. People, this man, after Paul dies, it was him. Church history has, it was him that gathers all of Paul's letters and brings them to the early church fathers to say, here is what he wrote. For them to authenticate it and say, these letters belong in the Word of God. You know, a man whose name is mentioned only a couple of times. A slave. But yet he's the one that gathers all of Paul's letters that we would not have if it wouldn't have been for him. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him, in him. All things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. God's words. We would not have if it wasn't for the small people, the people in the fine print, the people doing the jobs backstage, running in their lanes, being viable, successful at what they're doing, so the church can be visible. So once again, what is God asking you to do? God doesn't ask anything that's not important. Amen. Before we sing our last song, one more time. Evan, Addison, y'all come up, please. I get to embarrass y'all a little bit. Addison. Evan, I met your mother. She moved. Have you talked to her lately?
She called me when we first walked in.
Oh, she did? Evan's mother was working at the guest house. I was getting with her because we started the Bible study over there. Right after when I went to the first Bible study, she said, well, this is the only time you're going to see me. She moved. She started a new job in Florida. We give these Bibles to y'all just praying and hoping that you hang on to them. Just don't put them on a shelf somewhere. You know, even if you do, know they're there. You know, they know that these people here love you. You know, you're always welcome. But to more than that, you know, more than that, you know, as a reminder that God loves you. You know, you can never, ever outrun the love of God. No matter where you go, what you do, God loves you. You know, you can always come back home. Okay? Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we just give you thanks. Lord God, we pray, Lord God, that Addison and Evan, Lord God, every day of their lives, Father, Lord Jesus, know, Lord God, that you love them. Lord God, they can never outrun your love. Father, Lord God, that all roads lead back to your house. Lord God, just be with them this day and every day. In your son's name, amen.